I think all traditions focus on the big questions of life and death. And particularly for me, I've studied the Buddhist teachings. They seem to be particularly focused on impermanence, transitions, the brevity of life. And all our awareness, all our practices, all our reflections, they do not always take away the shock of losing a loved one. I heard on Friday of a favourite aunt of mine. She died on Friday, and it was made all the more sad by her last few years suffering with Alzheimer's. And I realised that although I feel sad at this moment, I actually felt more sad over the last 3 or 4 years as she gradually lost her personality, her liveliness, her wit, her intelligence, and could no longer connect to others, as I think she still wished to do. So that experience of loss being actually some years before her passing. My own interest in death came in my 20s when I went travelling in India on my own. And I went to Varanasi, where as a good tourist, every good tourist in Varanasi must go to what are called burning ghats. So wondering what these were and having heard a little bit about them, I got a boat and sailed down the Ganges and landed at this stage, this landing stage called a ghat. And at this particular ghat is where the bodies are brought and they're wrapped, and I waited for a couple of hours, and after that time, eventually a body was brought, wrapped in a gold cloth, brought down to the river. And there was a long, long ritual of immersing the body in water, chanting prayers. The women were separate and some of them were crying. And during this long ritual, the funeral pyre was made with a lot of wood, and mostly only kind of wealthier people can afford to buy the wood to have this very special holy ritual. And after a couple of hours of the body being put on the fire and ritually burnt, and sitting and waiting for this was a meditation in itself, watching this happen. After that, the body was then taken, not the body, the ashes, the bones, the wood, was then taken down and put in the river and taken away by the holy river Ganges. And it had not escaped my notice that I'd been at different ghats in the last couple of days, and that actually every morning Indian men and women would go down and they would bathe in the ghats, doing their daily ablutions, which included brushing their teeth, using the water of the Ganges to rinse out their mouth. And it kind of was really a shock for me, sort of seeing that very different culture around life and death and the intermingling of very kind of ordinary everyday rituals that we mostly would do in private, both cleaning our teeth, but also dealing and doing rituals for our loved ones who've passed away. So something about the public expression of grief, and anybody can just watch this ritual happening. And some people were watching, but a lot of people just gave it hardly a glance and were just carrying on with their ordinary daily lives. I've also been to a number of somewhat soulless crematorium services for elderly family members. And one occasion, again in my 20s, that stuck in my memory was at the London Buddhist Centre in Bethnal Green, where there was a service for a friend of mine, a middle-aged man who had died quite suddenly. And it was a beautiful gathering. It took 2 to 3 hours, and his friends had arranged the service exactly as he wanted it. And some designated people spoke. They spoke about their memories, their friendship with him. And then after that, it was just an open space for anybody to contribute as they wished, and many did. There was also live music, and I remember an accordion and a harp. And it was like there were a lot of tears, but there was also a lot of laughter too. And I just remembered feeling very inspired and uplifted by this very personal service for this friend. So I'd like to talk about three kind of doorways or opportunities to come into, in a way, getting our house in order before we die. And the first way came out of, I recently attended a day called Before I Die, where we did quite a lot of meditation, reflection, and then we looked at doing the first stages of preparing some of you may be familiar with, an advance directive or a living will, a document specifying what our requests are should we be in a position where we're not able to make our communication clear at that time. We can make our specifications clear and give it to a loved one or GP so that our family could communicate our wishes at the time if needs be. So we were given about five or six scenarios, none of which sounded great, ranging from, you know, losing your mental faculties, physical faculties, needing to be taken care of, not being able to speak and so on. And in pairs, we just discussed our own responses to whether we would want life-sustaining treatment under those conditions or not. And I thought I was absolutely clear about what my preferences were, which was pretty much any kind of chronic ongoing physical pain. I thought, oh, let me out of here. But mental dementia or whatever, I kind of felt like I'd be okay about because I didn't really know the difference. However, the person that I worked with, a Spanish woman, she was very clear that she could cope with ongoing physical pain because she was already dealing with that pain in her life. But for her, the experience of mental anguish and losing her ability for clarity and thinking, that was something she'd also had experience of, and she knew that in that case, she really would find it hard to carry on. There were contradictions in the group of us gathered together. That kind of paradox of, I don't want to be in pain, but I don't want to be asleep and unconscious either. And in the end, none of us really know what our choices might be in these kind of situations, whatever our physical or mental circumstances. So in a way, it's your best guess getting an advance directive together and just trusting that those around us at the time will do their best for us. But I have heard accounts of people who've been unable to communicate their wishes and have suffered kind of ongoingly, but were unable to show what they wanted. And it really highlighted for me the importance of getting something on paper. And I can also feel my deep resistance to doing it and contemplating that. But letting others know your thoughts on this subject could be a real help for you at the time. But also, you know, you may find that if somebody else has got one, it can be a real help to know that you can communicate to the medical profession with confidence that you can honour the wishes of your loved ones. The second area, out of three, for getting our house in order is about getting our advance funeral wishes done. That's something some of you may have thought about, you may have had conversations about, or you may not wish to go there at all. And one of my favourite box series of HBO American TV shows is 6 Feet Under, which some of you may remember. And it's a tale of a family funeral business. Each episode starts with an unusual death. And one story that stayed with me was the son, Nathan, marries a young woman, she disappears, and they later find her body and realise that she's been murdered. He knows that her deepest wish is to be buried, not even in a coffin, just buried, going back to nature, under the ground, and to be buried under her favourite tree. However, her family have other plans for her. They wish her to be in the family vault, so to be connected to other members of the family. So Nathan is in a dilemma what to do, and nothing is written down. So one night, he secretly, on his own, he takes her body and he buries her under her favourite tree. But he doesn't want to upset the family. So in a funeral business, he has access to ashes. So he gives the family an urn of ashes, not hers. You might think, end of story, everybody's happy, but no. The family drop it or do something and the ashes are revealed and there's like a little bit of broken glass or something in it and a bit of rubbish and the family just think, hang on a minute, these are not her ashes. And all hell lets loose and the plot continues. So, of course, if she had written down her advance funeral wishes and signed them, the whole storyline would have been completely different. Perhaps not as interesting, but completely different. So it was a kind of example to me. Getting our own house in order regarding our will and letting other people know our preferences regarding our ending can go a long way to relieving the suffering of family members. So it's something that I do with people as a interfaith minister going through advanced funeral wishes, and I know Sarah does that with people here too. Clarifying our preferences, burial, cremation, what music, what poetry, readings, who will do the eulogy, food and drink, a memorial. And making these wishes can be a moving and surprising experience. I've always found that people get touched at something when they talk about this. I offered a friend of mine who is an embalmer, I offered her, thinking she might be interested in this, I offered to do her funeral wishes for her. As a sideline, she recently embalmed Margaret Thatcher, and she found it a very cool experience because she had to do it under armed guard. So, and she had to dress her and so on. So a very moving experience, a strong experience for her. I thought she'll be very happy to have her funeral wishes done. No, don't. I'm not interested in that. I don't want to go there. So I thought, okay. And I let the matter drop. 2 months later, she came back to me and said, actually, you know what? I would like to have my funeral wishes done. We did it. And I was amazed at how absolutely clear she was about what she wanted. And I never would have guessed what she actually chose. And what she said afterwards was that she realised that although she was around death every day, she was deeply in denial around her own mortality. And she said that doing these wishes went a little way to helping her take on board that for herself. The third thing that we can do to follow up, to prepare ourselves in a way for our death, which can be a very enjoyable way, is, I'm going to talk about another film that I loved, and it was called The Bucket List, and it was a film with Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson. They're two old fogies, they're both terminally ill, but they're physically okay, and they form an unlikely friendship with a lot of bickering. But they decide in their last time that they're going to do all the things that they never had time to do. They've obviously got quite a lot of time and resources to do these. The list includes skydiving, flying over the North Pole, riding motorbikes along the Great Wall of China, visiting the Taj Mahal, a lion safari in Africa. But more importantly, perhaps, Nicholson realises that he wants to restore his relationship with his daughter and two others. He'd like to help a complete stranger for the good, so with no benefit to himself, and he would love to witness something truly majestic. I won't spoil the plot as these last ones unfold, but it's a very touching and funny film. So my own list includes things like, I think, going on a safari, definitely, seeing icebergs, like a cruise to the North Pole or South Pole, wherever they are, and watching whales. So those are certainly on my list. But on the other hand, it's also thinking about, have I got any unfinished business with anyone or anything? Is there anything I haven't done that I keep putting it off, but actually I do need to get on with it? So I'd like to just finish with an invitation for you. If there is something that you'd like to write, to say, something you need to do that you feel is important and it's hanging over you, then I invite you today to take away an action, something that needs to be expressed or spoken that you could share. And that doing that, whether it's in your own heads or actually communicated outwards, could be a way of feeling more at peace, more at ease, a little lighter. So I leave you with an open invitation. Thank you. We come to our closing blessing, the Buddhist metta or kindness prayer, which we'll do in call and response. May all beings dwell in the heart.
May all beings dwell in the heart.
May all beings be free from suffering.
May all beings be free from suffering.
May all beings be healed.
May all beings be healed.
May all beings know their wholeness.
May all beings know their wholeness.
May all beings be happy and at peace.
May all beings be happy and at peace.
Thank you.